In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
This hour of the Mark Reardon Show is sponsored by Gamma Tree Experts. Your trees deserve the best care. Call Gamma Tree Experts. This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Oh man, are we loaded up for tomorrow's show? I mentioned yesterday, there were two things yesterday musically that caught my attention. One in a very, very sad way because Rahmalo of the Mavericks passed away from colon cancer at the age of 60, and I loved him dearly, and I will miss him so much, and it's one of my favorite performers ever. He always put a smile on my face. But then on the other side of the equation, the Canadian rock trio Triumph. Now, you have to be of a certain age to appreciate this. They were KC Classics, though, back in the day here in St. Louis. They love St. Louis. They had a big, big following here, which is why we're on the list for the reunion tour, 50 years of Triumph. And Gil, who's the vocalist, you know, I had Rick Emmett on about 2 years ago, plays guitar for Triumph. He sings a little bit. Gil is the singer. He's going to join us tomorrow with a little promo of that tour. The tickets go on sale on Friday. Bethany Mandel will be here tomorrow from Jerusalem, so that'll be fun to catch up with Bethany. We have a Reardon Roundtable set for Friday with Jane, State Rep Steve Butts, and State Senator Nick Schroer. It's nice of Nick to make an appearance. We've only invited him every Friday for the last 3 months, and he's been busy all those times, but I guess he's making an exception. It's been a few weeks since I visited with our next guest, my friend Dwayne Patterson with HotAir.com, host of the Dwayne's World podcast. There's so much to catch up on. How are you?
Merry Christmas, Mark.
Yeah, Merry Christmas to you.
How are you?
Sue is actually off today, so you don't even have to get the hi Sue in there because she's celebrating her wedding anniversary in Chicago. She's been married for a year now.
I see. Well, that's kind of a thing to do. So I want to take just a quick second and thank. This is a season of gratitude, right?
It is.
I mean, okay.
No doubt.
I want to thank every single listener in the 97.1 FM Talk audience. Every single one of them. Why? Because in their own way, they contributed to making the upbringing and the education possible.
I know where this is going.
So that we can have Jasmine Crockett next year. Thank you. Thank you. On behalf of all of us in my line of work as a radio producer, as a columnist, as a podcaster, as a broadcast professional, thank you, St. Louis.
Yeah.
Thank you for everything you have made possible.
She is the gift that keeps on giving. And look, you also have to thank us because we provided Cori Bush for all those years as well.
I know, but Cori Bush, she was like the John the Baptist compared to Jasmine Crockett, right? I mean, she's referring to herself as what would JC do?
Yes, I know. But look, Dwayne, she's the school that she went to here, MSCDS, very fancy private school, right? She's not dumb. There's no way.
She's not a dummy at all.
Right.
She just plays one when it works for her.
Exactly. But you don't really think that Jasmine Crockett, if she was on sodium pentothal or whatever the truth serum is, and you asked her, do you really think you have even a shot in hell at becoming the next United States Senator from Texas? She would say no, of course, but she's doing...
I don't think that's the point. The point
is... No, it's not the point, right? She wants the attention.
It's grift. No, it's grift. It's a book deal.
Yes.
She wants the grift.
No, I agree with all that. Yeah, it's grift, and it's just she wants the attention. It's all for that. And she, look, to a certain extent, maybe you can't blame her because we've, and this is where I feel a little guilty, because she is the gift that keeps on giving for guys like you and me, but she's just a clown show, and I hate giving her the attention. We have this this woman here in Missouri, and I don't even know who she is. I won't even mention her name, but she's got a fair amount of followers. She ran for office and was unsuccessful, but people on my side love to give her tweets attention to mock her or to rip on her, and my point is always, she loves it. She's doing it because she wants the attention, and she wants the people to pick on her. My guess is Jasmine Crockett loves it when, you know, Trump brings up her name, right?
Oh, of course she does. I mean, she's an attention hound, and I totally understand that. But by being the attention hound, she and Zohran Mamdani are going to be the face of the Democratic Party next year. And I just think that's just spectacular.
It is spectacular, but I had my friend Sean Spicer on earlier, and of all the people that I talk with pundit-wise, you included, he perhaps may have expressed the most concern about where the Republicans might be heading into next year with the midterms because of economic situations. So we know that President Trump was in Pennsylvania last night. It was a long speech. He was doing a lot of weaving. There was a lot of fun. He made fun of the turban and Ilhan Omar. That was a special moment. But
and her brother.
What? that she married, right? Look, I'm in the camp that says, yeah, we've got these special elections. We've seen some things that are not really favorable for Republicans. Sean pointed toward Tennessee and says, look, if you can't blow out a woman who hates Nashville and country music, then you shouldn't be in the race. Now, that guy did win over the nutbag in Tennessee, but you know that the legacy media is going to make this all about promises that weren't kept and the economy is what is going to be the focus next year. So what did you think of last night and how that might portend to what might happen here in the coming weeks as the Republicans head into 2026?
There's lots of doomers on our side of the aisle, my side of the aisle, that are hitting the panic button saying, oh, we're going to get killed, we're going to get crushed, things, you know, all is lost. I'm not buying it at all. And I could hit the panic button if we get to summer next year and the economy is still kind of sputtering, waiting to really fire, on all engines. And the president's not doing any messaging and we're still kind of scattershot, then I'm really concerned. But here's the deal. $18 trillion of investment has come into this country. There is factories being built all over the country. There is all sorts of onshoring going on. CAFE standards have been lowered, so we're going to start built. The CEO of Ford said new cars are going to be a lot less expensive than they used to be because they don't have to meet all these stupid, silly edicts by a bunch of enviro leftists. So you got all sorts of things going on that the economy is going to come to us. It's like playing a game of football, and you control the line of scrimmage. Eventually, the game's going to come to you if you dominate the line, right?
And I think, look, my concern would be this, and look, I'm more of a – you know this because you've known me now for a couple of years. I'm more of a glass-half-empty type of guy. But on the economy, I see things that very much concern me, including a lot of debt that households are taking on. And when we were coming out of the pandemic, I mean, that had been reduced to almost nothing. Yep. So people are still going to buy, and they're still buying, but they're putting on the credit cards, and they're doing that more than ever. And then you have prices that are increasing. So what I think was misinterpreted on the affordability thing last night by a lot on the left, because – Trump's not calling affordability a hoax. He's saying, look, the Democrats have come up with this new talking point, and they want to hit him every time on this quote-unquote affordability. But having said that, look, this is real. And, the one figure that sticks out, I'm not even sure who first told me this. I've had to share this with my wife just as a reminder. If you spend $27 extra a day, that's $10,000 a year. And you're hard-pressed to tell me that people aren't spending, on average, at least that much a day extra because of the price of things. So if your paycheck's going up, it might not be going up by $10,000 or whatever the number might be. So no matter where you are, this may sound weird, but no matter where you are socioeconomically, there are relative things. Obviously, people who don't make as much money are going to get hurt harder. But let's face it, people who make a lot of money also have higher levels of expenses, and they're buying all those cars, and they have to be responsible with their decisions. I guess my point is this whatever you want to call it, the economy, the affordability, that's something that's real that people are feeling, and they still feel it when they go to the grocery store, et cetera.
No doubt. What I will say, what's gas right now in St. Louis?
It's pretty low. We're under, I think, $2.50 at this point.
You're $2.50.
Well, you know I'll have to, let me check on that. You're in California. You're probably at $5.
I'm right at about 506 for the good stuff. About 506.
Okay, you're talking, but that's for premium.
That's for premium,
okay,
but
yeah.
But you know that's
271. I know I have premium too. Unfortunately, 271 for regular unleaded right now. That's what we have right now.
Okay, so where was it when Joe Biden was at 9% inflation?
A lot higher. Yeah.
So the bottom line is things are improving compared to where they were 2 years ago. Is it as fast and has it reversed the damage of the accumulated inflation year to year that we suffered under 4 years of Biden? No, not yet. What I'm saying is by the time you get to June and those factories start hiring people and we're starting to produce more, oil continues to be manufactured and exported, and we start looking at $1.80 in some places. And with that, everything that moves in this country, whether it's by rail, whether it's by truck, everything that moves, including diesel, that is going to start lowering the cost of things compared to what it had been. There is lots of indicators that it's going to be coming to us. Two things have to happen. One, government has to get out of the way, continue to get out of the way, and let us continue to develop energy and get out of the way of business so that they can onshore and start hiring Americans and get everybody back to work again. That's all well and fine. The second thing is Donald Trump has to go out and do what he did in 2024. There is no better salesman for Trump's agenda than Donald Trump. He did the gig in Pocono in Pennsylvania last night. And that's really the first one he's done in a long time. Susie Wiles, his chief of staff, was on a podcast this week and promised that he is going to do in 2026 what he did in 2024. He's going to barnstorm the country. And when he starts doing that, you're going to start seeing the message change. Because right now, the narrative is all online by lefties. It's all online by media types.
There's no doubt. Right.
Saying how bad everything is. And so everybody's like, oh, I guess everything's bad. Is it truly as bad as it was 2 years ago?
Well, no, I'll even go a step further. Look, this is where I would encourage the audience to be very cautious, and even I have to tell myself, because these are some of the same people who in the spring were telling us we're going to be in a recession right now because of the tariffs, right?
Right, and we're not.
Right. All the experts.
We're looking at 4.2% GDP growth for this coming quarter.
Look, Bessent is saying that. I mean, if that really hits, that's an incredible number moving forward. There's no doubt.
It's hard to be talking the R word when you're looking at a plus four number.
Yeah, it's impossible to talk about that. All right, let me talk to you about a couple of different things just because we haven't had time to catch up in a couple of weeks. This whole thing with Tim Walz and Ilhan Omar and the Somalians, here's Trump last night.
The people from Somalia, they hate our country. And they think we're stupid people, which actually, when they allow that to happen, they are. That's headed by Governor Walz, one of the dumber people around. No, but think of it. He's given not like peanuts, billions.
All right, so in this situation, here we have, and look, Dwayne, this is uncomfortable because I don't like it when Trump, you know, kind of lowers the bar and he does a lot with the sophomoric stuff. But on the other hand, the story then becomes, maybe this is why I don't like it, the story then becomes about that instead of the billions of dollars in fraud, right? Yeah. I mean,
exactly.
Maybe someone should have a little interest in telling the story of how that happened. Now, that reporting's been out there for a while. I've had people, David Strom, you know, from Hot Air, we've talked about some of this stuff up there, but then it becomes a national story and people are like, oh my God, that's a ton of money that's happening. And I think what really gets people, you know, back on their heels, and the president addressed it a little bit last night, there's no effort in that particular situation. I know some people who live in Minneapolis who visit up there. There's a lot of Somalis up there, and there doesn't seem to be much of an effort, if any, to assimilate. And that's one of the issues I think Americans have, is this lack of willingness on the part of a lot of the immigrants to assimilate, to learn the language, to be part of our culture.
That's exactly right. And that's one of the things that Trump said in Pocono yesterday, which is, look, if you're not willing to contribute to our culture, if you're not willing to share our values, we don't need you, we don't want you. I mean, just find someplace else. If you don't want to contribute to everything that makes this country great, if you don't want to contribute to the experiment and have us all be one big melting pot, if you don't want to contribute to that, you just want to come here and snipe at it. Well, bye. We don't need you. There's plenty of other people that want to be here that want to be here, right? So that's that same message. But in Minnesota, there's a couple of takeaways to that. $8 billion is what I'm hearing is north of $8 billion is the amount of fraud when you actually start adding it up. Scott Johnson of Powerline has been talking about this for, 18 months, almost 2 years? He's been reporting on this before Chris Rufo finally got some exposure to it, and then the story caught fire and took off. But people have known about this fraud
several
for
years,
a year and a half.
Right. Yeah, I've talked about it
Kamala
before.
Kamala Harris was supposed to have vetted Tim Walz, and this didn't come up anywhere.
Okay, that is something. Like, it's almost like they didn't vet him at all. I mean,
isn't it?
It really is. All right, by the way, on that topic, Tim Walz and Gavin Newsom, check this out.
But I think this notion of toxicity and masculinity needs to be separated. And I think it's been conflated. And I think we're going to have to work on that a little bit. And I think there is a crisis.
I think some of us scare them. I think I scare them a little bit why they spend so much time on it. No, I'm serious, because I can fix a truck. They know I'm not bullshit on this. Yeah. I'm not putting this in people's grill. I don't know if my identity is not hunting. My identity is not football coaching. My identity is not, you know, a beard and a truck.
Yeah, there he is. The poster child for masculinity, Tim Walz. Doesn't get any better than that, does it, Dwayne?
Jazz hands. Yes, Governor Jazz Hands and Governor Hairdo. That's what screams masculinity to me. You put those two in a room together, and it's basically the political equivalent of Dumb and Dumber, right? I mean, Gavin Newsom, don't even get me started on him. He was complaining that because of climate change, He surveyed the fire damage as the fire was going on here in Pacific Palisades and Pasadena, and he's now claiming that he was a victim of the climate changes because his hair caught fire with a burning ember.
No, he did not say that. Are you
honest
serious?
To God,
oh, I missed
he
that.
Said that.
I
he
missed
said that.
That,
and his press office, when pressed about it, they released a video of him looking like a superhero with his cape blowing in the wind, with his chin up, surveying the damage as it's going on. And they said, see, this is proof. There's only one thing that's missing from that video, his hair catching on fire. Other than that, it totally is corroborating.
You know, you bring up climate change. Let me touch base on this before I let you go, because it's really interesting. It's a topic that I've talked about literally for decades. I've never bought into the hysteria and the alarm. I've always described myself as a lukewarmer. I understand that there are warming trends and the climate has changed and all these things. And maybe we're causing part of it, but I don't think there's any proof that we're causing all of it. And I do know that there's nothing we can do to solve any of it outside of just shutting off most of the planet, not just this country, but China and India. But it's interesting because finally, after decades of saying stuff and mocking all this climate alarmism out there, which, you know, all you have to do is go back to 1994 in the New York Times and look at the apocalyptic predictions and all this stuff. I'm sure you've heard even more of those out in California. But that house of cards is collapsing. Isn't it interesting?
It's not only collapsing, it's past tense has collapsed. One of the clowns that's running for governor out here, we've got jungle primaries in California, so 1,000 people run, right? One of the people running is Tom Steyer, a billionaire, who made his fortune basically destroying the climate. And once he made his billion in the business world, he got guilty about it, and he's been running on climate change ever since, trying to give all of his money away to climate causes. He's run for governor before, but what makes it different this time compared to last time is his main campaign plank 4 years ago when he tried to run unsuccessfully was everything had to be climate changey, right? We had to stop oil, stop fossil fuel, had to move to electric. Just everything about his platform was all about energy, reducing it, clean energy, and all that kind of stuff. This time, when he made his announcement, he gave a 30-minute speech to like four people. I mean, he's not going to get elected dog catcher here, but he makes his speech to like four people, and the one or the two words together in the same sentence that were never mentioned in 34 minutes was climate change.
Isn't that interesting? Well, I think that they're even, look, the consultants are looking at the polling even amongst Democrats, and it's not an issue. It is not an issue that they, it's not in the top 100 or 200.
No.
And by the way, adaptation is what we should have been talking about. And nothing against you, Dwayne, but seriously, I've said this for years. If we lose California in all this and Vegas becomes beachfront property, I'm okay with it. You'd lose your home, and I don't like that. But
we keep joking if the San Andreas Fault ever did rupture, right? You know, catch a wave and surf to Denver, right?
Yeah, exactly. Well, look.
No, California, you kind of want it a little bit because we still, at least for now, have two or three refineries which feed part of the West Coast. If those went offline, you'd have problems because we don't have enough refineries right now, and the nation's grid would not exactly work too well.
Hey, by
so
the
you
way,
kinda
yeah.
need
no,
it
I know.
Bit.
I'm teasing a little bit, but I want to go back to just one thing before I let you go because you were talking about, you know, jobs and energy and everything. This is something I mentioned with Sean Spicer, too. Selena Zito was on a couple of days ago. We highlighted it. We have a steel plant. Granite City, across the river, used to be big steel producers. We have a steel plant that is firing up again, 400 jobs, 400 new jobs. That is a big story. But the legacy media is not covering that.
And those jobs, those 400 jobs that didn't exist before, like, a month ago, are those minimum wage jobs?
No. They are not. They're good jobs.
They're not.
Right, exactly.
They're good jobs. They pay pretty good, don't they?
I believe they do.
Benefits?
They're probably union jobs as well, if I had to guess. Yeah.
And in that city, in those environs around where that steel mill's opening up, are there other supporting businesses that might see a little business pickup?
Well, Dwayne, if they're not, I bet there will be soon. I completely understand your point. Yeah, that's right. That's how it works. Dwayne Patterson, we'll talk next week. Thank you.
Take care.
All right, we'll see you.
DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Find new customers on a platform that's here to stay. With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here for Mint Mobile. You know, one of the perks about having four kids that you know about is actually getting a direct line to the big man up north. Mm-hmm. And this year, he wants you to know the best gift that you can give someone is the gift of Mint Mobile's unlimited wireless for $15 a month. Now, you don't even need to wrap it. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
We're going to talk about Australia and what they're doing with social media here in just a few minutes. Plus, I will have an audio cut of the day. Charlie Kirk, of course, was assassinated at that event at Utah Valley University on September 10th. He was just 31 years old. We all know about the success he had with Turning Point USA. And my wife is an interesting example of this right now. She's become a lot more interested, even though she's been with me for 2+ decades, a lot more interested in politics in the last year. And, you know, I walk upstairs if I'm down watching a football game. She may have the five on these days. And she loves Erica Kirk, and she's very inspired. And I think a lot of women are inspired by Erica Kirk, except for Jennifer Welch. And I don't know who Jennifer Welch is outside of the fact that she used to be a star on Bravo. She has a loony podcast called I've Had It. And she's getting attention for this particular comment about Erica Kirk, calling her, amongst other things, a grifter.
Her attack on substituting a relationship for a man with a substitution for the government is overtly an attack on poor people and the racist connotations in that, considering she's abundantly aware of the, when you talk about women and poverty, that black and brown women stick off the charts more so than white women. This is an intentional attack on poor women. And this is a dehumanization all done in the name of her Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, which is the exact opposite of what the central character of the faith of Christianity preached against. So this is intentional weaponization of her gender and her faith. And this, she is a grifter. And just look at the costume changes. Look at the costume changes. Look at the affect and how she does that. It's wild. This woman should be kicked to the curb. She is an absolute grifter, just like Donald Trump and just like her unrepentant, racist, homophobic husband was.
Well, she's not shy about her opinions. But again, think about, you have to kind of think about the media narrative. And I don't know that she's someone that's well known enough for legacy media to cover it. But I will tell you that if somebody said something that despicable about someone on the left, that it would, you know, if someone on the right did that, it would certainly get a fair amount of attention. Then people are going to say, well, President Trump does that all the time. Well, this is a woman who just lost her husband in a most horrendous way. And here's the other thing about Erica Kirk right now. And I don't know how she does it every day and gets up there and is inspirational. But I haven't really talked at all on this show about Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. I don't know what the hell is wrong with both of them. I really don't. But they're saying things that are nonsensical, embarrassing, kind of sick and demented. And there are these conspiracy theories out there because Candace Owens wants to spread them, and she's getting an assist from Tucker Carlson. I don't understand it. I don't think Erica understands it.
I do not have time to address the noise. My silence does not mean that I am complacent. Mm-hmm. My silence does not mean that somehow Turning Point USA and all of the handpicked staff that loved my husband and my husband loved them is somehow in on it. We are busy building. And you know what I thought? I thought these people are human. We are all grieving in our own way. And they are trying to find the answer to something that happened that was so evil. They are trying so hard. And I get that. We're doing the same. Anytime we hear a lead or anytime we hear anything, we send it to the authorities. Please dig into this. No rock will be unturned. I want justice for my husband, for myself, for my family, more than anyone else out there.
So there's an allegation on the part of Candace and Tucker that, you know, there's not enough investigation that's going on, and that there were signals that pointed to this, and that this was more of a big conspiracy. And then you kind of toss in what Jennifer Welch is saying, and Erica says,
come after me, call me names, I don't care. Call me what you want, go down that rabbit hole, whatever. But when you go after my family, my Turning Point USA family, my Charlie Kirk Show family, when you go after the people that I love, and you're making hundreds and thousands of dollars every single episode going after the people that I love because somehow they're in on this. No, this is righteous anger because this is not okay. It's not healthy. This is a mind virus. Yes, I believe in our judicial system. I do. We have a hell of a team working on this. Excuse my French. But this is not okay.
Yeah, it's a lot of the stuff that's going on there, and this social media feeds into it. It's just baffling. Speaking of social media, Australia's trying something very different. They're going to ban social media for kids under 16. We're going to talk about that next.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers healthcare on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Thanks to TikTok ads, I was able to open up a business with my childhood friend and even hire employees. My name is Julian, and I am one of the founders of The Snacks Lab. We are an exotic snack company. We import snacks from all over the world. We had over $100,000 in sales from our TikTok ads in the first month. So our orders went from 5 a day to over 250 orders a day. You definitely have to use TikTok ads.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here, wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now, Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. If Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So, that means a half day, yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
If you're under 16, you're no longer allowed to have a social media account. You'll know better than anyone what it's like growing up with algorithms, endless speeds, and the pressure that can come with that.
So this is Australia, where they are the first nation on the planet to ban social media for children under the age of 16. Now, there's a part of me that loves this, especially as the father of a 10-and-a-half-year-old, almost 11, and I'm very, very concerned about social media. The one thing that I worry about is this is Australia, and I'm just telling you, the experience that I had, and we shared a lot of this with you a few years ago, during the pandemic, Australia and New Zealand were horrifying places to be. I mean, they basically set up prison camps. And I just got a message from a friend of mine who has family over there and said, my niece's husband went back to Australia during the summertime with the two kids for a month and a half. He's a lifelong resident citizen of Australia. He came back and said he'll never blanking move there again because they're taking away rights from everyone, arresting people for random things on social media. And that is horrible. So I'd like to kind of believe in this as something that might work. But I also have to, in the framing of this topic, remind people that Australia is not exactly the model of where we should be when it comes to freedom and rights on the planet right now. Neither is New Zealand, and quite honestly, neither is the UK, which I'm a little shocked about. George Rosenthal with ThrottleNet back with us to talk about this afternoon. Sorry, George, I had to do a little ramp up there to offer my opinions about the horrifying things I saw in Australia. Because I'm telling you, man, during the pandemic, it was jarring what they were doing to people over there. It really was.
It really is shocking. Yeah, I'm surprised about the UK as well. It's a real bummer. I really can't believe that's happening there.
Now, on this front, you know, again, it sounds like it's a more responsible thing to do. I don't think kids under 16 should be on Instagram and Facebook and some of these places. And technically, they're supposed to not be, I guess. But how does Australia enforce this with age verification? Do you know that?
Yeah. So, I mean, this is all going to come from the app stores. They're going to lock down the phones to where the phones won't even download the application. They're going to force IDs. They're going to, you know, basically you're going to have to end up taking a picture of yourself at 16 years old, plus show some sort of form of government ID to prove that you can do that. Now, you know, with everything, when anything's banned, there's always ways to find a way to do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
Now, I mean, you know, I had a friend of mine say today, you know, look, the alcohol has been banned, but kids find a way. But I'm like, look, they may, but they're not going to find it in mass as they are in social media. I mean, I agree with you. The rights are rights, but we need that. The one thing that's good about this is it gives the parents this ammunition to say, look, it's illegal. I can't get you on. I can't even download the app as a parent. You know, I can't even get it on for your phone. But
I agree with you on that because, you know, we are weak as parents. And I'm going to raise my hand and say sometimes I've had weak moments. So I understand that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's easy to say yes to your little girl when she's staring at you in the face, but when you can easily say no, it's illegal. But, I mean, things that are happening are just so bad. If you look at the way we grew up, 70s, 80s, and 90s, I mean, now you're looking at things like bullying and suicide and, I mean, humiliating posts and mental illness that's coming from social media. I mean, these are posts that kids are making now will be searched by artificial intelligence and used against them later on down the road. I mean, you're talking about some addictive algorithms that change the actual chemistry of the brain when they're that young. Your brain is just forming, and 11, 12, 13, 14-year-olds, they get addicted to this scrolling. And, you know, the most dangerous thing, I literally had this conversation with my children 10 minutes ago, and it was, don't post anything that you don't want AI to copy your face, copy your voice, and then one day you don't make friends with somebody or you break up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, and then they use an AI tool against you to humiliate you for the rest of your life. It's terrible.
So, you know, Jonathan Haidt wrote a book about this a couple years ago called The Anxious Generation, How the Great Rewiring of Childhood is Causing an Epidemic of Mental Illness. And I didn't read the whole book, but I read quite a bit of it. And, you know, it concerns me as a parent. Now, I went through some of this when my kids were younger, my boys who are now 25 and 28. Social media was kind of kicking off. And I even think we put one of my kids on Facebook just so he could have an account before he was too old, just because of pictures and stuff like that. I think that was probably an irresponsible thing to do, but he never really got on there and wasn't using Facebook, you know, on his phone. But you know, now you have a situation where, let's face it, there are, you know, my daughter's almost 11. She's not on social media, but she's probably not too far away from wanting to be on social media. We as parents have to stay strong. Do you think, let me play a soundbite here from American politicians, because I'm curious to see if you think this might be something that can be fashioned here in this country.
I think protecting children is an avenue that should be pursued. I won't rule out some sort of limitation in sales or distribution or use of those devices. And I just tell you, parents and grandparents need a helping hand. This is getting out of hand.
I think we ought to look at what Australia is doing, for example, and requiring access to these social media platforms to not be available to anybody under the age of 16.
Yeah, the first voice there was Dick Durbin. I think that was John Cornyn. You know, both sides bipartisan. They want to take a look at this. So at the very least, I think Congress is going to have a discussion about this, which at the very least, that's warranted.
Yeah, I mean, there's devices you can get for your children that allow them to call three or four numbers, and that's it. You know, if your kid is in an emergency and needs to contact you, there are devices out there that just have those four or five emergency numbers, and that's all they can do. They can't download apps on their own. And yes, there are parental controls, but how many parents are going into their kids' phones and setting up parental controls and then monitoring it on the regular basis? And, you know, These aren't adults. You know, these are children. They're under 16 years old. This isn't like you're impeding an 18-year-old who is an adult in this country to be able to do what they want to do. You're empowering parents, though, by forcing certain devices to be sold to children. And this is only going to get worse. I mean, you know, I'm all about free rights and everything, but as a parent, my kids don't have the same rights as they do when they're 18. They're my children.
Yeah, that's right.
It's my job to protect them. And this is going to get dangerous stuff. I mean, the stuff that's happening right now, I don't know if you saw, Meta is now sicking their AI on DMs. These are direct messages on Instagram. These are private conversations that you have on Instagram that their Meta AI is now going to read to feed an improved algorithm of content to the user.
Well, that's outrageous, but we probably sign on and agree to that when we agree to these terms and conditions that we never read, right?
Yes, correct. I mean, you're talking about the Minority Report, the movie here, where they're looking at your messages, and then it's no longer just an algorithm. AI now has thousands of algorithms pointed at every individual person, and it's looking at not only your content you're scrolling through, but now your messaging. It's really getting out of hand, and it keeps going and keeps going. And, you know, every month we talk about a different thing that they keep doing, and the scope creep is out of control. And if you don't guard your children, no one else is going to. And you can't rely on the government to come along and come up with a rule like this. And I cannot emphasize enough how much I see this in the tech world as to how dangerous artificial intelligence is going to be with your children's information, pictures, and voice out there on the internet. It is unbelievable. Stop putting your children's voice and pictures on the internet. Send them to your family in a private account. Set up a OneDrive or a Dropbox account and share pictures that way. I mean, if they ever break up with somebody in high school and college, which of course they will, and somebody wants to do something bad, they can use Aura right now, the AI tool, and create any video or false picture with their voice in it that they want.
I mean, some of this just makes my jaw drop. And, you know, I've stated before, I think Facebook is a very toxic place. Everyone wants to be a talk show host on there, unfortunately, and post about politics. All I want to do is share pictures of my family and my bunny, George, and my dogs and my cats. But what I'm hearing you say is, like, even with my daughter, probably don't do that, right?
Well, you can, but take the time to go into the security settings and lock it down. Make sure that only certain friends or family can see the content you're posting that's private. I mean, of course, the bunny's awesome. I would love to have, you know, you make an AI video of Oreo.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness. But your children, block that down so that only close family and friends can see the pictures on Facebook. And you can do all of this through the extensive settings in the Security Act. You know, click on the little sprocket icon and go look at the settings and take your, you know, good hour and set it up. But you got to do it.
Yeah.
It's important to do it because the future of your kids, look, they may go for a job one day and they have done something stupid in college and then it's going to come up to haunt them. It's not a joke anymore because AI will find it. People that are hiring right now are using artificial intelligence to do background checks. And it will search everything that's out there with that person by facial recognition, by the way, not just name, by facial recognition. And will look up every picture, voice, video that's out there. And then that employer, potential employer, will see it. So if you're in college right now, God help you what you put on the internet. You really better watch it because as soon as you graduate, it's going to make a big difference on what happens when somebody goes to do a background check on you.
Half the time I have you on this radio show, I'm like blown away. I'm inspired. I'm like, wow, look at all these things we could do. And then the other half the time, you scare the hell out of me, George. I'm just telling you.
Well, I don't mean to, but I just know that with an 11 and 13-year-old, I am, you know, the dad
antenna
is up at all times, man. It is up at all times.
And it should be. This is good advice.
It's not a game anymore. It's not the early 2000s.
All right. I appreciate you weighing in on this because it's important. You're not kidding about that. We'll see if we can have a discussion. I think I have Congresswoman Wagner on tomorrow. We'll start asking these lawmakers if they think that this is something that might happen here in this country. By the way, whatever happened with TikTok? I mean, we never banned TikTok, right? Did we ever figure that out?
We didn't. He keeps pushing it out. There are multiple billionaires that are going to buy it, and it's going to be saved. It will be purchased from China and will be moved over here. China will own, I believe it's 15%. So they will own 15% of the company. The rest is going to be owned by several billionaires or a larger group. I believe it's a large equity group that's going to buy it. So the data will be housed in the United States. It will be managed by the United States. But again, so is Facebook, so is Twitter's, I mean, X, so is everything else, and the content's still out there. But at least it's not being tracked by the communist government of China.
George Rosenthal, ThrottleNet. Check out ThrottleNet.com. You're awesome, dude. Have a great Christmas. Thank you.
Thanks. You as well. Merry
we'll
Christmas.
We'll see you. All right, a couple things for tomorrow before we get to audio cut of the day. First of all, Sue Thomas will be back in her chair. We're looking forward to that. She'll be here through the time that I take off for Christmas. I'm going to be here through the 23rd, and we're taking off the 24th through the end of the year. Also tomorrow, Bethany Mandel, who is one of my favorites on social media. She's in Jerusalem and had a chance to tour some terrible things over there that happened on October 7th, but she's got some interesting stories to share. Gil Moore, who is the vocalist with the band Triumph from Canada. They just announced a reunion tour, 50-year anniversary tour. They're coming to St. Louis in May, and Gil's going to join me tomorrow afternoon. We do have a Reardon Roundtable booked for Friday. Jane, State Rep Steve Butts, and State Senator Nick Schroer, all on the panel. That's coming up on Friday afternoon. Let's see if we can hit the right button here. The host having some problems. This is take three. You're not aware of that, but I've hit something twice. Let's see if it works this time.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
Okay, something a little different here. I had Brian Kilmeade on the show. He joins us weekly, but I woke up this morning and I noticed a video on Instagram where Brian was kind of doing this, and he does this a lot, like a little walking tour as he walked into Fox this morning. And I think it was like 4 a.m., but he told an interesting story about gum.
It was, I'm up at 3, out of the car at 4.
Yes. So I have several questions that came from this particular video. Why doesn't Brian Kilmeade like gum, for example? There was an anti-gum stance that was taken there. What's the issue?
I cannot take it. It drives me nuts. I actually have to, and it embarrasses my family. I actually can't speak to someone if they're chewing gum. It just goes right through me.
Oh my gosh.
I can never take it. It absolutely, and I have to tell people too. I'm like, hey, ahead of time, if you don't mind, can you not chew that? Because I won't be able to concentrate. And I remember like in second grade, my mom chewing gum and just enraged me. So, and then I found out that Kelly Ripa has the same thing. There's a name for it. It's the act of chewing that drives me. It's like a physical reaction.
I've never heard this.
Crazy.
That is unbelievable. All right, so we got that cleared up.
There were a few more questions. You can listen to that on the podcast. But yeah, so this is something called misophonia. It's a neurological condition where specific trigger sounds cause intense emotional reactions like anger, disgust, and panic, leading to a fight or flight response. I had never heard of that, but it says here, this is AI overview, so it's got to be true. It says gum chewing is a very common trigger, along with sniffing, tapping, or loud breathing. I think loud breathing would get me for sure. They often cause sufferers to want to flee the situation or lash out, and can be managed with coping strategies or therapy. So there you go. We got to get Kilmeade a little therapy.
Get more at 971talk.com.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Own a small biz and need a reliable way to reach new customers? Try TikTok for Business.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today with TikTok for Business. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detectthesos.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.